And I guess I was involved also with the Stolam Trust from the beginning. And John McVicker, who ran it, at one point got very, I don't know what really happened. He wanted me to take over as a what was I?
Chairman.
As chairman of the land trust. He was president of the Stolam Trust and the only president up till then that we'd had. And then I became the chairman of the board. And my basic job was just to keep John McVicker in control. He was sort of a funny guy in his own way. He was a lawyer, but he didn't know how to, but he had just this electric typewriter and never knew how to change anything. So if he wrote something, that was it, because he was damned if he was ever going to go back and change the wording on it. And George Stearns, who was later became the land trust lawyer, got into a little huff about that with him on a number of issues. But at some point, anyway, John McVicker just picked up and left Stowe. And at that point, as chairman, I was sort of reminded of all of this yesterday at the Stolam Trust annual meeting, because I sat with Merton Pike. Merton Pike is a, God, he's got to be in his 90s now. I just don't know, but I
Yeah, he's in his mid-90s.
mid-90s.
That's great.
We needed somebody to take over the presidency. At that point, the chairman could not be the all-controlling person. And so we put our heads together and we got a hold of Merton. And Merton agreed to be president for 1 year. But he had no communication skills whatsoever, didn't have a computer or anything. But we hired a very good, all the various people we hired at the Stolam Trust to run it were excellent. And this particular woman would go work with Merton and help him write letters and type things for him, became his secretary to a great extent, and he became the president. And that worked out fine. We rebuilt on his prestige as one of the beloved farmers in town. So that worked out very well. And then I think Bruce Nurgin came in as the next president, and we reestablished a regular system of doing things until later on. Gaetano Viscinelli came in and superseded me as the chairman of the board, at which point, and he'd been a partner at J.P. Morgan and knew a lot. He completely changed the whole organization around to a great extent, in that he eliminated the president's job at all completely. He became the chairman of the board, and that was the ruling person. I don't think they've had a president. Yes, they have had presidents. Maybe not. I'm not sure whether they've ever had presidents again, or whether they have just chairman of the board.
Yeah, I don't know.
But that became he set up the revolving things where I was jokingly called chairman for life, but he set up a system where you could only stay in any position for a couple of years, and you had to move on, and
Sure.
all kinds of various rules setting it up. And interestingly, the new woman that has just resigned as chairman, as the director, the
Heather,
paid
Heather Furman.
Heather Furman is the working person anyway. It's been the first one that has ever been able to raise money. We started with Ann Lusk, I think, who created the bike path and all kinds of wonderful things in Stowe. But she was going to be a great fundraiser, but she never raised any money for us. And then we had, I think, Kathleen Fitzgerald, who came along and was the one that worked with Merton Pike and did. Oh, we also campaigned for Grayling. I remember writing editorials on the putting through the Mayo Farm Road. That was up for contention, and we basically, I basically push that hard because I used it all the time myself and wanted to see it be made a road, not be made into a golf course or God knows what else we could have done. I guess we had the money to buy the land, but as to what to do with it then became a problem as to whether we're going to turn it back into agriculture, which we fought for and got the Percys to continue to farm it, as opposed to setting up golf courses and things like that there, which other people wanted. And we fought that through the town committee system.
So tell me then, if you weren't raising money, how would you have the money, for instance, to purchase that land at that time?
So that was a bond issue through the town.
Oh, got it. Okay.
We had to just sell the town, which we did. It wasn't until probably after we could raise money the same way the Stowe Land Trust now raises it. I mean, to getting donations and all. And we'd raise enough money to buy out Ted Barnett. Or maybe the town was participated in that. The town and the Vermont Housing Commission, whatever they call it, always sort of dovetailed with each other and helped work out things. Huh. And there was a Vermont Land Trust, too, that we worked with.
So tell me about how did the Land Trust actually, was it the Pinnacle property that kind of initiated this group, and what was
the Pinnacle was just a piece of land that I think Ted Barnett owned, or at least he owned the right. There were all the things where you couldn't do anything above a certain elevation,
right,
which may still exist. And Ted Barnett, I think, owned everything, but perhaps not the rocky part of the top. Uh-huh. But he may have owned that too. But I think we were able to squeeze that out of him.
I guess my question is, how did the Stowe Land Trust, what initiated the formation of the Stowe Land Trust? How did that, what was
Oh, this was back under John McVicker now, who copied some organization in Massachusetts.
Nantucket.
Nantucket was part of the Massachusetts group, but Nantucket had their own land trust. John McVicker lived in Washington, was quite familiar with the carryings on of various organizations, and he was a great environmentalist. He basically set up this, the way it was. We were originally called the Friends of Stowe Conservation or some such name, and I think I was the one that put through the calling it the Stowe Land Trust, trying to get a little more useful, user-friendly name. But anyway, he was very instrumental in the beginning. There was Johannes and George Rao, who was now out in Aspen, were all responsible for the original concept of doing this.
Huh, okay. All right. I didn't know if it was a particular issue that, you know, sometimes these things form when there's a certain something that suddenly becomes
well,
at risk.
Well, I guess the pig farm and things like that might have been lent a little zing to wanting to have a land trust to save land, and they broadened the whole concept since I was involved. But I remember I basically wrote the first mission statement for them, which is they haven't strayed too far. I mean, it was to save land and vistas. And vistas, I think, was something I was pushing for then, too.
Sure.
Since we have them in all directions here.
Right, yeah.